We are on a mission to empower busy women with the tools and skills they need to grow a successful, profitable and purposeful handmade creative business.
A business that they are excited to jump out of bed for every morning.
A business that allows them to quit the day job and start living life how they want to live it.
Welcome to the Handmade Business Podcast with your hosts Anna Maria and Lindsay Warren.
On this week's episode of the Handmade Business Podcast, Lindsay and I will be interviewing Angela from Poly All Sorts. You can learn more about Angela at polyallsorts.com and you can also find Poly All Sorts on Instagram and Facebook. Angela creates whimsical and enchanting gifts such as fairy pots and fairy doors, and you can even now start buying mindful crafting kits from polyallsorts.com where you can make your own fairy house pot and also children's mindful creations such as fairy doors. Angela has been featured on Hochanda and Making Cards magazine. Throughout this episode, we discuss many of the things that Angela has had to overcome over the past few years, and we dive deep into some of the problems that she has had and how having a handmade business has really helped her through these difficult and adverse times in her life. We hope that you enjoy the episode. We hope that you get a lot out of the episode, as it is an extremely inspiring story to listen to.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Handmade Business Podcast. This time we're joined by a special guest, Angela from Poly All Sorts, and we've got a special episode today because we're going to be covering a topic that may affect, you know, quite a few of you listening, and it's about how crafting can help you overcome your illness and you can still run a successful business. Anna, my co-host, also suffers with illness as well, and she's still built a really successful business. So I think you'll find this episode really, really interesting. So welcome. It's so lovely to have you with us today.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's lovely to be here.
Oh, thank you. So Angela, tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you grew up and family and things like that.
Okay, well, I'm actually from Aberdeen. I was born in Aberdeen. My dad is Scottish. My mother was English. I moved when I was 15. It was a really difficult time being 15, teenager, getting yanked out of your home and things. It took me a real long time to settle, obviously with the language as well, which was completely different, and you know how cruel teenagers can be. So yeah. After that, I moved to Bournemouth in 2000 with my parents. We had a hotel, and I have six children and three granddaughters who have all kept me very busy. Yeah, most of them they're all grown up. None of them are living with me and all doing very well themselves.
So it's children. Wow, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I've given birth to four and I've raised two who I've had before they were two. They are now going to be 20 this year. They have been a joy, you know, for all of us, and so good as well.
How old are your grandchildren?
Well, Ava Rose is 9. She's going to be 10 in June. Isla is 3. And little Gracie is 8 months. So obviously through lockdown and me shielding, it's been really difficult. I've held her like a handful of times. It's been really hard. That has affected my mental health really quite badly. Because Ava, you know, she loves crafting with me, and Isla had only just started. We'll get the baby on it. Yeah, they're definitely taken after me in that way.
Well, that was actually going to be my next question, is are they already on the crafting streak? But obviously, yes, they are. How did you get into crafting?
Oh, when my children were little, actually, I started making them some clothes. Because this probably sounds a bit odd. So I had Lucy and then I had the two boys, and I quite liked them matching, you know. We couldn't take photos like we do now. I mean, it's amazing all the photos and videos you can do now. We did have a video recorder and we used to do them, but I used to go to the market and they used to sell the fabric which the clothes were made out of, like at Marks and Spencer's. And I remember some in particular, like Tom and Jerry or anything like that. So I'd run the boys these little shorts up and make a little dress for Lucy. And yeah, that's how I first started. And then a few years after that, I started getting into a bit of card making. Of course, we didn't have Hobbycraft then either, or the internet. So it was just really finding bits and pieces and like little craft shops. But when I first moved to High Wycombe when I was 15, my mum and my auntie had like a little, it was like a little grocer's shop, like haberdashery, you know, and they had lots of little sewing and knitting things. And my mum used to make clothes. My grandmother, she used to make clothes and send lovely dollies, the lovely little clothes that she used to make. And, you know, it all stemmed from there. They're all very arty.
Tell us about what you actually make, you know, what you make now.
Okay, well, it would have been, I mean, it's been a few years now. I think I started making a little house for Ava, like a little fairy house. My son actually had like cut it out, and I thought I could probably do something like this. And I used to go to a show. It was for like business people. It was called Creative Industries. So I started going there, meeting some people, and I did some samples there. I also did a it was like a dragon's den for creative people.
So I went along
there. I found it really scary because there was lots of people there, quite well-known crafters. And I went in with it as doing showing dolls houses, but then I kind of got talked into making them smaller, into like storage boxes. Well, looking back now, I mean the dolls houses is kind of what I would like to do. So I'd like to start doing them a bit bigger to see if people would be interested in having something like that. So I sold them originally as blanks. I got invited onto Hachanda with them, you know, and sold quite a few there. So I've been a few times, and then I started doing the little fairy doors, but not as kits. As such, with the paints and things, which is what I've started to do now.
I think that's really exciting that you've been on Hachanda and you've done all of that, and you know, your products have really evolved, haven't they?
Through lockdown, I started painting them and decorating myself and selling them, although I have also started to sell them as a kit now with the paint, so people can do them.
So we haven't actually said, so I think this is a good way to introduce, what is the name of your shop?
It's called Polly All Sorts. So my mum is called Pauline. We used to call her Polly. We had a hotel when we first moved to Bournemouth, and we always used to say to her, "Oh, Polly, put the kettle on." So that's how that kind of stuck. And after I lost her, which is 6 years, still feels like yesterday, still hard. I thought I would kind of incorporate that. And when I did my logo, she loved green, so I've done it as a green. And we loved robins, so I have this little robin in there, which reminds me of her.
Oh, that's lovely.
She'll always be with me in it, you know.
So where does the All Sorts come from?
Well, I was going to originally do it as Polly's Pat. I'm going to do that on a page on my website. But I thought, well, when I start doing the houses, I do other things as well, you know, because I do the cards and also I want to start doing another few little bits and pieces. So I thought that All Sorts would be sort of like for everything.
That's good.
Yeah, that's great. So I know that you've not really touched on it at this point. However, Lindsay and I know that you've had some difficulties with your health in the past. So has crafting allowed you to put focus in a different place when you have been poorly, and give you something positive to think about when, you know, internally you might be feeling not so positive? Would you agree with that? Would you say that it's helped you to kind of overcome adversity that you might have been going through?
It really has, and really since, you know, getting back to the loss of my mum as well, that's when it all started, because I was just completely lost. And I just started, I had a lot of craft things, and I just started making things. And I would do it all day, every day, to the extent probably that everybody had to kind of fend for themselves, especially the younger girls. I mean, by that time, they were sort of like 11, 12. But I was in such a bad place. I never thought I would be able to crawl out of it. I really didn't. So that's what I used to do. I used to make things. And I remember my son saying to me once, "Mum, you can't just sit down and make things every single day." And I was like, "Well, yeah, I can, because this is what's getting me through," because obviously I wasn't sleeping and things. So it carried on. And that's how I ended up kind of starting to think about maybe doing something out of it. But I didn't do anything at that particular time. And then a few years later, I had a problem with my heart. So I had a big hole in my heart and had open heart surgery. It took me a really long time to get over it. But the same thing again, I just started like making lots of things, not selling them, just making them, giving them to people, you know, lots of cards and things. And I was just kind of getting back on my feet when I had actually gone to that show. And that's how that all ended up. Now, I actually went on the first show on Hachanda before I had my heart surgery.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, but it really helped me a lot. But I did suffer really bad anxiety over it all. I'd had these terrible palpitations. I was in and out of hospital still until they kind of got it like leveled off with medication till I had it done. So after that, I'd left it about like 7 or 8 months. And then unfortunately, I think I had another show, but after that, and it was just a complete fluke that I'd gone for this test, because I was 55, for my bowel, and it found out that I had bowel cancer. And they said they had caught it very early. So I had an operation for that, and then they had sent it away, obviously, to test it. And it came back that it was stage 3 and I'd have to have the chemotherapy, which is just an absolute blinding shock.
Oh, yeah.
I still find it hard to, you know, even look back and think about it now. But anyway, I got through. I was supposed to have 6 and ended up having 4 because it had affected my heart then. And at that time, while I was having chemo, I just couldn't. Well, I could barely do anything. It was just hard. But, you know, I got up together again and here I am carrying.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you keep making all these amazing products, and now you started doing live videos as well, which are lovely to watch. So I really do think that obviously having something, and I know from my own personal self that having something else to focus on is a great thing. It's a blessing. And especially, there is something about doing things with your hands that I remember watching an episode of Dragon's Den quite a few years ago. And there was a lady, she's quite a successful Etsy shop. She does that, you know, what's they called? You know, when you crochet, but with big.
The big chunky.
Macrame. I never know how to say that. Macrame. But she makes those. She does kits, and then you can also buy finished products. But she was saying how I think she'd had cancer, and she had started making as a way of bringing herself outside of herself, basically, in the process of the making. And then obviously that's transformed into what it is now. So there's definitely something in the making, in the doing other things with your hands, that brings you away from that. So yeah, I think everything that you're doing is great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's such a good way as well. Even if you're not suffering illness, sometimes we all have times in our life where, you know, you might have worries and issues come up, and crafting is just such a way to lose yourself in the moment, isn't it? And just, you know, at that moment, you're so concentrated on what you're doing, everything else just kind of falls into the background, I think.
Yeah,
exactly. It doesn't have to be something, you know, that's like you say, an illness. It could be stress in your life, or having anxiety, depression, although I'm not really sure if you would class depression as an illness. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But, you know, all those sorts of things being, and I think depression obviously affects a lot of women, especially at the moment.
So
being able to bring ourselves out of that and do something with our hands and do something creative and think outside the box, I think that's good for our mental health in general.
Definitely.
I think absolutely the mental health side, and I'd say, you know, sometimes depression is an illness. My biggest thing, you know, after really my memory, as you know, I've mentioned to you before, and I know that, you know, ladies going through the menopause and thing have the memory loss, but, you know, after having that with my heart and also the chemo, it's affected my memory really badly, and I think that has helped creating things, just sitting down and losing. I mean, I could actually lose myself in a day just making something.
I think that's so nice. Those days where you perhaps forget about lunch and all of that, and you're just so lost in it.
I think that's when you know where your passion is as well, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. You know you're doing something that you're passionate about if the time doesn't exist, kind of thing, and it just flows, and yeah, great days.
Yeah. So Angela, you've probably kind of half mentioned, sort of covered this a little bit, but what point of your illness did you kind of decide to set up a business?
Well, that was actually in between losing my mum and having my heart operation myself. And, you know, that was really just by fluke too. And it just like kind of snowballed from just going to this show and obviously being invited on there, because at the time we didn't actually, I only had like little samples made, so then I had to go and find someone to make them. I had done all the designs, had them made, and actually to see it all come at the end of it all packed up, and I was like, wow, this is just really amazing.
I mean, that was a brave thing to do, especially when you did have the illness issues as well. You know, that would be a brave thing to do without all of that going on. Yeah. But to take that on at the same time. But do you think that it perhaps took your mind off what was going on with your illness and things as well, because you were so busy and focusing on, you know, doing your business?
Yeah, it definitely did. Because otherwise, you know, when I mean, I was at work at the time, so then I stopped working because I was sort of in and out of hospital, because first of all, they didn't know what it was. And then, of course, I had to just like gone downhill after that. Before that was found, I used to go to insanity like 3 or 4 times a week with my daughter in exercise.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, and I said to the consultant, how was I able to do that? And he said, well, the other part of your heart was like working so much harder. And this is why in the end, probably it started to go, you know, just lost it then. I can't do anything like that. I find it very hard to even go for a walk. I can go for a little walk. I can't walk far because I've now got this thing called neuropathy in my feet and ankles from the chemo. So someone's just been giving me a battering.
Oh, well, at least you've got plenty of things to keep you occupied with your business.
I have. And at least I have my hands. That's what I always think. I have my hands. I can still carry on making. And
that's it. So good to take the positives.
Angela, we've talked obviously about how you've been suffering for quite a while with various different problems, and they're still ongoing. You know, there's certain things that are still ongoing. So how do you manage to run a business and also, you know, cope with not always being 100% in health?
obviously I have good and bad days. When I have bad days, I sometimes can't do anything, you know, in between when I've been recovering from, you know, each whatever I've had. I still had have had a few little blips. I have over the weekend and, you know, felt quite unwell. And I just have to kind of put it down for a little while until I feel better to pick it up again. But the one thing that I can do, or I do, is I can sit on my bed or sit down somewhere quiet. And that's when I kind of do like the admin kind of things, you know, like doing the Instagram or the Facebook, or writing things down or things that come to me or little plans. That's what I kind of do in those times.
Oh, I think that's so good. So you're sort of making the, you know, doing what you can do, you know, and working around it. And I'd like to put that question to you as well, really, Anna, because obviously you're dealing with an ongoing illness. So how do you manage to, you know, deal with yours and still run your business?
So basically for me, because one of the reasons why I started this business was because normal 9-to-5 jobs don't really work with me, because some mornings I might be okay and some mornings I might be really terrible. Touch wood, on the whole, although today probably isn't one of those days, but on the whole, I am quite well. But the business is the thing that keeps me going. It's like we were saying about coming out of yourself. And I think if I was in a 9-to-5 job, you know, working for somebody else, and I've loved my jobs, I've had some really nice jobs with really great people. And, you know, it's never been the actual job, but something about the I don't know, the slog, the 9-to-5-ness of it, it just doesn't fit with my condition. So yeah, the way in which I'm able to structure my life, obviously, you know, current times, we're currently recording in February 2021. So, you know, current times are a little bit different because the schedule isn't really in my control as much as it would be usually. But at least I can still stagger my time around how I'm feeling. And if I have to do something maybe in the evening, I don't do it begrudgingly like I think I would do if I was working for somebody else. You know, the efforts are my efforts and it's towards, you know, myself rather than putting all that hard work and pain into somebody else's company. That I overcome it by it being beneficial to me overall. So yeah.
Oh, thanks for sharing that, Anna. So, Angela, what do you feel are the positives of running a business when you do have an illness?
So I think the freedom and flexibility is good if you're not feeling good. And you don't have the anxiety that you would have to go to work when you're not feeling so good. I think that definitely is something quite important. I mean, I would like to say as well, even when I was at work. So I work for my son also. I'm furloughed at the moment. But I kind of have had really, I'd say for the last 6 years or so, I've had no structure in my life at all. And I think this has helped a little bit, especially being locked in, to try and get some kind of something. And, you know, as I mentioned before, with my memory loss and stuff, I think having to try and it's only recently I've started kind of writing things down, but sometimes I even forget to look at that, my little list. And I've started putting a little alarm on so it will remind me to go and do these things. I guess I'm trying to teach myself to have a little bit of structure in my life.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And obviously, you know, running your own business, you're in control of all of that, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you said as well about having, you know, not having the anxiety about going to work when you know you're not feeling very well, because I actually hadn't thought about that for quite a while. But yeah, that is something that I used to suffer with. You know, if I'm not feeling 100% and then I've got to go into the workplace and be all professional and happy and speak to people when actually I'd really like to be under the duvet curled up in a ball, that will bring on anxiety for sure, because you're really being very, not on purpose, but you're being fake. You're putting out another personality, and that's not really who you are at that moment. That's hard work. So yeah, I completely agree with that massively, and I'd forgotten about that, in fact. So yes, I will add that to my benefit list. So what would you say are the negatives? And obviously, you know, we don't really want to focus too much on the negatives, but there are going to be negatives. So what would you say are the, should we say, downfalls? What are the downfalls of running your own business?
So recently, well, especially since lockdown, so I've kind of been shielding nearly a whole year now. The isolation at this time, I have found difficult at times. And I really have to say, I was not very savvy on Instagram or anything at all. But, do you know, I've learned so much. I've done some courses. I have actually started interacting with people on Instagram, which has really helped me so much. And all kinds of things. I mean, I've managed to get myself out there, as you say, on videos and things. I've been doing my little tutorials, which I'm going to do more of. And I think because people have, you know, like commented, they've really helped me a lot and encouraged me. It's been really encouraging to carry on with that.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's really good, Angela. So I'm going to ask both of you this question. I'll start off with you first, Angela. So what advice would you give to listeners who are managing an illness, but would like to start their own handmade business? What advice would you give them?
I'd say do it, because I think it really like brings you out of your own shell as well. Something as well, I think this is just, it's something for me anyway, because obviously I still have my other little job. I think to go from that great big jump or big leap, whatever, can be so daunting, that I personally am just doing it a bit at a time. But that could be just me, because obviously with me being poorly at times as well, that I'm still kind of hanging on to that little thing. But I'm really hoping to eventually, you know, get busier, sell more, do more, so I can perhaps stop doing that and just carry on with my own thing.
And I'm sure you'll definitely achieve that, Angela, because you know what, all the things you're making in your kits are absolutely lovely.
Thank you.
So what would your response be to that same question, Anna?
I would be the same. I'd say just do it, absolutely. And it is daunting. Nothing worth having comes easy. It's a learning curve, but I think we've thoroughly discussed throughout this episode how it's a really great thing having your own business and doing something creative and having something for yourself. I think we've listed some amazing positives there. So who wouldn't want to have that? Obviously, there's plenty of people who love having a 9-to-5 career job, and that's wonderful. We need those people to keep the country doing, you know, other things. You know, there's other jobs that need to be kept going. But if you feel like you need to set up your own business and you're an entrepreneur within you, then you need to follow that. I believe you need to follow that because it's your calling. So just do it. And it is daunting, but there's, like you just said there as well, Angela, you said you didn't have any knowledge about Instagram, but you've gone out and you found the information and you're teaching yourself, because it's not just learn it and then it's done. It's an evolving thing. It's always changing. The algorithm's always changing. It's just the way it is. But you've now got engagement and, you know, people coming forwards, interacting with you on your page. So it's more than possible to learn everything that we need to learn. The information's out there. So, yeah.
Well, thank you both of you so much. I think it's been a really great episode today, and definitely, you know, something for thought. So Before we finish today, Angela, can you just tell us if people want to come and have a look at your products, you know, where can they come and find you?
Okay, well, I'm on Instagram, Polly underscore All Sorts. I'm on Facebook. I've just opened an Etsy shop. You can find me there. Also, I'm in the process of doing the Facebook and Instagram shopping, which I'm trying to get together. I never thought I'd be able to do things like this, I have to say, but I'm getting there slowly.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you ever so much for sharing that. So thanks everyone for listening today. We'd love you to subscribe to the podcast. You can also sign up to our newsletter on our podcast website, which you can find at thehandmadebusinesspodcast.co.uk. And when you sign up to our newsletter, we also have a lovely free gift for you, which is a photography ebook with lots of hints and tips to help you with your product photography. So thanks so much for everyone listening today.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you for having me.
Bye. Bye. Bye.